Prabhupada could go on for limitless time to describe his glories and their realizations, I would request that as the names are called out, you could please come up and speak for around 3 minutes and present us your realizations about Srila Prabhupada, your offerings to Srila Prabhupada. I would request that the speakers come directly onto the mic and start out with their offerings. I would request His Grace Srinathji Prabhu to please come up on the mic. While Srinathji Prabhu is making his offering, I request Tulsi Manjari Mataji to please come out the mic there.
Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimada Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashat Desh Tarine. Srila Prabhupada, it was only your own teachings which really opened our eyes to real knowledge and bhakti. You were the first to tell us that there is such a thing as a constitutional position of a soul. Though many people in India knew that we are not body, we are soul, but we didn't know what is our constitutional position. Thereafter, Srila Prabhupada, you have explained in detail what is the constitutional dharma of the soul. So, the service and service attitude is bound to be there in the soul, and you have explained so beautifully. And we are eternally grateful to you, as I made my offering on behalf of all of us in the Vyas Puja offering book, that we are eternally grateful that in 1971 you simply told Shamsundar Prabhu while getting down the stairs of the Bhartidya Bhavan, hardly a minute away from here, that we should have a center here. And it was your desire, really, which Lord Krishna fulfilled by himself coming here as Radha Gopinath and giving us this wonderful opportunity for all of us to serve. So our constitutional position and constitutional duty under guidance of Radhanath Maharaj and other senior devotees have helped us to fulfill life's only purpose. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Srinathji Prabhu. Matajis and Prabhus, you just listened to a person who's been very, very close to Prabhupada for years. In fact, Prabhupada had offered one of his disciples to Srinathji Prabhu's father to be adopted. And Srinathji Prabhu has written his realization as to what were his thoughts at that point in time. I won't reveal this to you now. I request Tulsi Manjari Mataji to please make her offering. Meanwhile, if Sahadev Prabhu could please come up on the mic. Could the mic please be checked?
Srila Prabhupada has shown so much compassion to fallen souls. At the age when most people retire from active service, he traveled around the globe spreading the holy name and helping fallen souls to come into Krishna consciousness. Even when people had many pitfalls, he always encouraged them. There's a story of a devotee who went to Srila Prabhupada and said, I think I'm doing things right. But people, devotees criticize me, saying that I am always doing things wrong. I apologize for this. Prabhupada coolly told him, even Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were criticized. What about you and me? The devotee felt Prabhupada did not understand him correctly. So he said, "No, Prabhupada, I am not trying to criticize Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All I am trying to do is to apologize for doing always things in the wrong way." Prabhupada again repeated, "Krishna was also criticized. Nobody recognized him as the Supreme Person when he came here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu also were criticized. Nityananda Prabhu, in fact, was hit on the head. So, such things happen. The devotee also pacified. There was another devotee who went to Prabhupada and said, "It's difficult for me to rise up early and to control my tongue. I'm always overeating. I'm such a rascal." Prabhupada said, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was called a rascal. Do you know that? So then he told a story of his spiritual master told him, you're such a fool. Don't try to study the Vedas. You just chant Hare Krishna. Again, one more devotee was pacified. He was always, trying to help devotees. He spent sleepless night writing books for our benefit. And what he expected, he said, as author's royalty for his writings, was 2 chapatis a day. Even though a lot of money came, he was not attached to it. And what he did was just for the service of for the fallen souls. On this very auspicious day, I request to Srila Prabhupada, I may not be able to achieve great milestones, but at least minimum be able to chant 16 rounds attentively and serve the movement in a very humble way. Thank you for everything, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Tulsi Manjari Mataji. You have prayed on behalf of all of us. I request Sahadev Prabhu to make his offering. Meanwhile, if Janwar Mataji could please come over towards the mic.
Hare Krishna. On this very special and auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada's 108th appearance anniversary, let us meditate on some of the Prabhupada's pastimes. In fact, whatever Srila Prabhupada did, anything and everything, whatever he did, whether through his words or action, had some purpose and meaning behind it, sometimes deep philosophical imports. So, therefore, the interaction between Srila Prabhupada and disciples and the realizations about that actually provides us with perfect and powerful guidelines for our spiritual life, because we are pursuing the sadhana bhakti. So I would like to give 2-3 instances of that. It was in Las Venega temple. This was narrated by His Grace Bhakt Das Prabhu, that once Srila Prabhupada was giving discourses on Sri Isha Upanishad. And one day, after the class, he asked the devotees, "Is everybody chanting 16 rounds?" And Bhaktas Prabhu raised his hand that, "I am not able to chant 16 rounds. I am not chanting." And Srila Prabhupada asked him why he is not chanting. And he told that the temple president has given me so much services that I have to work 20 hours a day and I hardly get a time to chant. And Prabhupada told him, "Then sleep only 2 hours. So his realization was that Prabhupada did not want him to diminish his services for chanting. He actually wanted him to diminish his sleep. So the second incident also Bhakt Das Prabhu has narrated, that around 1972, middle of 1972, they were in the Sankirtan party and they were going out with full Hare Krishna dress, with dhotis and saris and tilak, and they were approaching people and telling them that we are Hare Krishnas and please take a book and you will know about Krishna. So around that time he received a letter from Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, in the letter it was written that don't sell the books by preaching and not by cheating. So he was confused. He could not understand what it means. So he wrote back to Srila Prabhupada and wanted a clarification. And Srila Prabhupada wrote him that while distributing the book, if you are in the consciousness that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He is the Supreme Enjoyer, He is the well-wishing friend of every living entity, then in that consciousness if you are distributing books, it is preaching. If you are distributing books in any other consciousness, it is not preaching. It is actually cheating. So we can understand, actually some time back Radhananda Maharaj was also actually telling about this point in a different way. He was telling that a person who is sitting on a Vyas Asana and giving discourses about Krishna consciousness has a great responsibility, because not only he is giving the philosophy, but the person who is giving discourse is also giving his consciousness to the person, to the audience. So if the consciousness of the person who is giving the class is not, he is not fully Krishna conscious, then the discourse will have little effect. And this is the basis of Krishna consciousness. Actually, Krishna does not see the externals, He sees the consciousness. What weight we can give to Krishna? We have nothing to give except our consciousness. And therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to transform our consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness. So this is the fundamental basis of Krishna consciousness, to change our consciousness. And the last incident is about what His Holiness Guru Maharaj has said in the memories, that once Prabhupada had a program to come to New Vrindavan, and he wanted to give discourse on Bhagavad Dharma and also to celebrate Janmashtami and Vyas Puja. So everybody was jubilant and they were trying to make all arrangements there. And for a stay of Srila Prabhupada and other arrangements for everything. And there was no place for Srila Prabhupada to stay. So there was an old house, beaten up house, which was to be renovated, and Radhanath Maharaj with other devotees was in charge of painting and renovation. The day Srila Prabhupada was to arrive, before late night, it was found that the toilet is not working, it is not flushing. And the other devotees, who were very tired, they all went to sleep and left the job for Radhanath Maharaj to do. And he told that, I did not know anything about this toilet business, how to work it up and how to fix it and all that. He was working all night on that. And just as Srila Prabhupada arrived, he heard about that and he tried to pull the lever, it flushed. So he was very happy, and he has written in that memory that I was proud that Prabhupada will be very happy that the toilet is flushing, it is working. And when it was a time for Srila Prabhupada to use the toilet, the devotees told him that we have a nice toilet, it flushes. But Prabhupada took his lota and he went into the fields. And he took bath also in the open. And then Prabhupada told that, I really like, enjoy responding to the call of nature in the open grass, where I can have a nice breeze also. So during his stay, long stay, what Prabhupada did not use the toilet at all. So Radha Maharaj gives his realization there that this is a lesson of detachment. Anything and everything we can do to please our spiritual master, but we cannot be attached to the results. So from these three small incidents and interaction by the devotees, by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada with Prabhupada, we can actually understand how we can mold our life, spiritual life, thinking these small things in our life. So we are very thankful, Srila Prabhupada, for whatever you have done for us. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Sahadev Prabhu. I request the speakers to utilize around 3 minutes while Janma Mataji is making her offering. If Mahaprabhu, could please come up.
Hare Krishna. I was reading a book on memories of Srila Prabhupada by senior disciples, and Dhananjay Prabhu's offering I would like to share with all of you. So back in Rome many years ago, Prabhupada would call all his disciples and he said that you should write a book entitled How Krishna Consciousness Can Save All the Problems of This World. So every morning the disciples would come and they would pose a problem to Prabhupada and he would try to solve it on the basis of Krishna consciousness. So once in 74, during the oil embargo, Prabhupada said that we can solve this crisis by stopping to use motor cars. He said, this motor car society will not last for long. When the petrol dries up, what use is the motor car? He said, we should use our foot or horse or bullock cart for traveling, because these are the modes of travel since time immemorial. So in this way, Prabhupada wanted us to simplify our lives. On another instance, Prabhupada called his disciple, Dhananjay Prabhu, and he said that I have made these temples, but I never intended these temples for grihasthas, these temples are for brahmachari and sannyasis. Grihasthas must live outside and work outside. And he personally encouraged Dhananjay Prabhu to start a business in Vrindavan to make mukuts and dresses for deities. He also told him to go in for manufacturing deities of Gaur Nithai. And Prabhupada took him to Aligarh where brass making units are there, where they have unfinished casting of deities. And he said, the way we can establish the cultural aspect of Krishna consciousness is through Gaur Nithai worship. He said, there should be like Sankirtan paraphernalia. Just like you sell the book, you must also sell Gaur Nithai deities. And he said, people are very fond of collecting dolls. So this deity should go like Hare Krishna dolls. And when people come and they ask you, and people have a habit to buy French dolls, Dutch dolls, Mexican dolls, Russian dolls. So they'll buy these Hare Krishna dolls and you can propagate to them that if you take these dolls home and you look after them nicely, they will fulfill all your desires. So the people will buy these dolls, take it home, put it on their shelf, and the family members will ask, who are these two brass guys? What do we do with them? Then eventually they will come to the temple, meet the devotees, and the devotee will preach to them, offer them a leaf, a flower, a fruit. And when they go home and offer and they come back, and then you can sell the aarti paraphernalia. So just like you sell the book Bhagavat, also sell the person Bhagavat. In this way, you should push on this deities. And there were that time 120 temples. So Prabhupada said that if every temple sells 10 deities, pairs of 10 deities every month, then 1200 deities of Gaur Nithai can be sold. So you must push this, and in this way we can establish our Krishna consciousness society. So Srila Prabhupada, we are very grateful to you that you gave us such beautiful dolls. And like Srinadhi Prabhu mentioned, that many years ago you gave a lecture at Bharati Vidya Bhavan, and when you came out, you pointed out in the direction of our temple and said there should be a temple here. And these dolls are manifested here. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for giving us such nice dolls of Radha Gopinath and such a beautiful dollhouse. And we hope to be qualified to stay in this dollhouse. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you, Janma Mataji, for respecting the 3-minute limit. I request Mahaprabhu to please make his offering. While Mahaprabhu is making his offering, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, if you could please make your way towards the mic.
Srila Prabhupada, we have read in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna fulfilled the desire of everybody, and it was your desire to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. Actually, it's written in the Bible as you ask and you will get. We are all the time thinking, what is this? Ask and you will get? Or another place in the Bible said, it will be done as you believe. So you, Srila Prabhupada, whatever you have believed, it is done. And now I would like to narrate 2-3 stories how Srila Prabhupada, your disciples and the grand disciples are doing things which actually you wanted us to do. Today morning there was a very good, wonderful ceremony. Prem Bhakti Mataji's brothers, you know, function, Prem Leela Mataji's
brothers who expire before 13 days to today by the big function there. And about 500 top people of Bombay were present there. Usually when we attend this type of function, people only talk and gossip and just come for the formality and then go. When Govind Prabhu was talking there at that time before doing wonderful kirtan, everybody was listening. The wonderful two stories, not giving very high philosophy, two simple stories. I'm not going to give that stories of mosquito and another story of about the person who was meat eater and how prasadam, because he was explaining the meaning, the prasadam, the chanting and the pravachan, and how they were all listening with rapt attention, and everybody was very, very happy by hearing Srila Prabhupada, because of your mercy, this was done to these people, who many of them may be great meat eaters also, but they understand the value of this, what is this function which was done this morning. Urmila Mataji was giving class, Srila Prabhupada, in Krishnachand Prabhu's residence. I was not present there, but the next day I got the tape of that and I heard from several devotees what was she was speaking. Urmila Mataji was saying there in the class that don't think that only distribution of books, that's important. And your name is mentioned in the Bhagavatam classes in the morning that you distributed so many books. Please understand that the success of the movement depends that how you are taking care of your children, because they are the future of our movement. And it should be declared also in the morning that I have changed 9 napkins, potties. What is that? Diapers. I always forget that. It should be declared. It means those Matajis who are taking care of the children, they should be as respected, because it's not all the time necessary that one should just run to the temple and not taking their responsibility, because our future movement depends on these kids and how you are taking care of them. And the last point I would like to mention that last week I got one book in my hand. And this book, when 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, when I was reading, all the time, the Urdhmoolam, so difficult for me to understand. But when I read this book, which contains 20 sloka, in this 20 sloka, the way this is being explained, all 20 sloka they mention so wonderfully well, story of Bible, story of Quran, story of Akbar and Birbal, and story of King's Queen's necklace. All 20 slokas are having so wonderful stories, and by that method one can understand what is real happiness, what is actually the disowning the what happens if a son is disobeying the father? Portugal child story, the queen's necklace, and finally, there's 20 stories like that. And when Muhammad, when he was going on the street and somebody was throwing some dirt on the top of the floor at that time, you see, one day that man has not thrown some dirt. So he has gone up and asked, why you have not done today? He was sick and he has taken care of that man and he became his disciple. Now that type of story written in this 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when I asked Radhishyam Prabhu of Pune, will you please, it is possible for you to do all Bhagavad Gita, to all 700 slokas, the way it is done in this 15th, so that this materialistic society, who are very much concerned that you come out with a story of some other religions also, no, they should not think that is only Hindu religion, and this will be the hit thing for our value education. Srila Prabhupada, you will be very, very happy by knowing that these people are doing so wonderfully well, spreading your message around the world. Hare Krishna.
Revol. Thank you very much, Mahaprabhu Prabhu. The book that he was referring to is taken out by the Value Education. Gaurgopal Prabhu and Prem Nidhi Prabhus have written it. It's called The Yoga of the Supreme Person. It should be available in our temple. I request Krishnachandra Prabhu to please make his offering. While he makes his offering, Radha Priya Mataji, if you could please make your way towards the mics.
Dearest Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to you, the greatest of great souls, for you have taken the time and concern to save millions of lives. When I hear and read about the total commitment and dedication of your disciples, especially in the early struggling days of establishing ISKCON, I am really struck with amazement. How you empowered them. You not only gave them the highest form of Krishna's mercy at all levels and at all times, but you actually caused them to act spontaneously on such platforms. Those dancing white elephants, as you lovingly referred to them, were given your absolute mercy and benediction to carry forward the torch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Just like out of uninhibited love of Krishna, the gopis freely gave the dust of their own lotus feet to relieve Krishna's headache. Just like the gopis were tricked by Krishna's cunning to gladly and willingly leave all so-called respectability and even access to their families by running into the night to seek out the sound of the flute, so also, Srila Prabhupada, you tricked your disciples into following you and giving up their misdirected lives and even access to their families. But they didn't care, just as the gopis did not care. They loved you and you loved them. That love only enabled them to perform absolutely miraculous adventures of sacrifice, unparalleled devotion to you and to Krishna. But then, that same mercy is available to everybody, even to me. That same love in all its intensity is within my reach. But my determination is missing. I am able to understand more and more that over the last 3-4 decades, my own so-called worldview, that is my outlook on each and every aspect of life, is heavily influenced by your example and your teachings. And actually, I am greatly relieved. What is devotional service? How it is different from mundane Hindu piety? What is real parental duty? How should be our relations with our wives and children? What is real social responsibility, real welfare work? How Krishna consciousness is the only practical hope for this world? What is surrender? What are rituals? How they are useful? Who my real friends are? What is real charity? And to know that servant is not a derogatory word, but it's the highest goal. All these things are actually, and above all, what it means to put Krishna in the center. None of these things we could even fathom at least in my own mind. And now I find that in any situation, it is a great relief to see every point of view as from putting Krishna in the center. There is nothing of my thoughts and existence that has remained from before. You have tricked me like you have tricked others out of your causeless mercy. The only difficulty is that I mentally understand this and I can't forget the truth, but I don't always follow it due to lack of determination and laziness. I have made many resolutions in the past and have failed. Today also I am attempting to resolve that I will pick myself up and gather sanity. I will make one more effort. All the Vedic scriptures sing of your character. I pray that I'll learn all these prayers and that one day they enter the core of my heart. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Krishnachandra Prabhu. Radha Priya Mataji can speak. I would like all of you to please welcome His Grace Bhima Prabhu and his wife, and Haridas Prabhu and others who have just about come. Ishwar Prabhu has... Where is Ishwar Prabhu? In our traditional way, by loudly chanting...
Hari Bol!
Welcome, Prabhu. Welcome. Brother Priya Mataji, if you could please make a...
Dearest Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to you, all glories to my Guru Maharaj. On this wonderful day, I cannot express my love or my gratitude to you. Krishna is the cause of all causes, but you are the cause for whatever little devotion I have or understanding I have. Your growing family of Sri Radha Gopinath congregation under the leadership of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj have shown miracles by changing not only this temple but also the hearts of thousands of people. Now my family is this congregation. My happiness is centered around these devotees. They inspire me to improve, and by their love and simplicity they force me to change. I pray to Krishna that I don't let you or my Guru Maharaj down or embarrass you in presence of so many great souls here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Radha Priya Mataji. I request Radha Gopinath Prabhu to please make his offering.
Hare Krishna. A few days back, I was requested to speak on this topic, Srila Prabhupada, the great social reformer. And I was thinking how I should present. We have heard of several social reformers who brought about great reforms in societies. But there are reformers who work for the society of plants and trees to improve their society. Tree Lovers Association. There are people who have cruelty to animals and etc. Society of Animals. Then there are societies for fighting for equality and dignity of certain races. There are some people who are fighting for freedom of country, and there are some social reformers who are fighting for humanity on humanitarian grounds. But then a great reformer is one who works for the society of living entities, all the living entities. It is said, there is a Niti Shastra, it says, Ayam nijah paroveti ganana laghuchetasam udara charitanam tu vasudheva kutumbakam. He sees all the living entities in the spirit of Bhagavad Gita, knowing Krishna to be the Supreme Father and material nature to be the mother, and knowing everyone to be his family and society. He worked for that. And then, as regarding reformation, there are people who are working for various levels of reformation, but then social reformation, economic, on health grounds, education, technological, etc. But Srila Prabhupada worked on the fundamental reformation of that of the spirit soul on the spiritual platform, and all other reformations occur as a byproduct of this. And that is actually a great social reformer. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that how the preacher of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the true welfare worker, the highest welfare worker, because he is giving the highest benefit, that is achievement of the spiritual abode of Golok Vrindavan, to the largest number of people, the whole cosmic manifestation, for the longest period of time, eternity. And therefore they are real welfare workers. And then the whole lecture, I was trying to think what verse to speak on. And Bhagavad says, what is it? Who is a real social reformer? It says, Tadvad visargo janatagha viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddhavartyapi Namani Anantasya Ashonkitaniyat Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava. There are three points that it brings out. It says the first thing that a great revolutionary brings about is Tad Vak Visargaha. He spreads by his words, his compositions and the literature that he distributes. Prabhupada gave the example of how communism came to Bengal without one Russian coming. But the mere fact that they simply dumped their books and therefore the whole communism came about. So that is the first thing, and that was probably one of the greatest contribution that Srila Prabhupada made, that this Vedic conclusion he gave in a very, very tangible, practical and universally understandable way. And then the second thing is there are so many reformers who were at one time glorified and later pulled down. In Russia, I was told, during the communism time, they had huge statues of Lenin, 80 feet, iron statues. And now they are being pulled down, melted and made into railway tracks to be used. So people actually glorify and then actually bring them down. That's because it's all whimsical. The Bhagavad says, real revolution is those words, Namani Anantasya Yashah Ankitaniyat, those which actually glorify the Lord. That's the only thing which can transform the heart. And the third thing about real revolution is when it Janata Agha Viplavo, a reformation which helps them to transcend from the sinful life and purifies their existence on all levels. The whole suffering in the world, which is why reformers stand out and speak, is because of sinful activities, which is breaking the law of God. And sinful activities are performed simply because of ignorance. And therefore, the greatest reformer is he who brings about enlightenment of the absolute truth. And therefore, it will not be wrong or any overstatement to say that Srila Prabhupada's greatest contribution have been his presentation of the Vedic literature, his words. Imagine going in the early 60s and speaking to these hippies who were disgruntled about the, anyone above 30 don't believe them, and to speak about the scientists as fools and rascals. One man speaking it out boldly. And then ultimately, of course, his own example. Practically, I remember Burijan Prabhu writes in his book how every one of these people whose followers were scrutinizingly observing him. Every action of his, every word of his, every movement. He says the first time he met Prabhupada, he was going on a morning walk, so he followed. And they came to a signal. There was a red light and Burijan Prabhu just then come. He said, I want to see if there is a spiritualist, how he will act. If he is transcendental, will he just cross the signal and go away? Or will he wait? How will he react? So Prabhupada came to that signal, stood there, looked to the right, looked to the left, again to the right. It was early morning, there was hardly any traffic and there was red signal, but still he crossed. And then he says, then I understood this fellow is a very practical man. He is not idealistic wait till the green signal comes, because he knows the principle behind all the rituals, all the rules. So they were so scrutinizingly watching every action, word, thought, etc. of his. And at that time, with every ounce of his energy, words, thoughts, he was simply distributing and speaking out loudly. In fact, his action, as we say, speak louder than his words about the absolute truth. And therefore, he could create such a reformation at all levels. At the physical level, these dirty hippies became hippies and very clean. Not only clean externally, as one devotee was mentioning, they would take bath once in a month, but they started taking bath thrice a day. And then clean habits. On a mental level, they were frustrated, but they were happy, satisfied, blissful. On an intellectual level, they were confused. And then they became determined, very decisive, very clear about the goal of life, and very discriminatory about what is absolute truth and what is not. And on a moral level, not only were they able to live a very ethical and pure life, but also transform the heart of everyone whom they came across. So in this way, the more we try to understand Srila Prabhupada, actually one level of advancement, if people want to judge how we are advanced, is how much our appreciation for this personality grows. Of course, one thing is simply intellectually appreciating, but the other thing is our action should also speak. In that, I hopelessly fail, and I pray to Srila Prabhupada that he gives me the courage and the strength or the intelligence to actually accept what I am, but also the strength to not remain where I am and continue to serve in some insignificant way. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. So Prabhupada and the assembled Vaishnavas here, we call upon our spiritual scientist, Dres Radhesham Prabhu, to please make his offering. While Radhesham Prabhu is making his offering, I request Radha Krishna Prabhu to please make his way towards the microphones.
When I first came across Srila Prabhupada's books, I was thrilled by his wit and humor on one hand. On the other hand, how punching and convincing his statements were. Like one of the first things I came across was about Big Bang Theory. So somebody was asking about Big Bang Theory to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, if there is a bomb blast in the city, what is the first question you will ask? Who put the bomb? Isn't it? But when there is a Big Bang, scientists never ask that question. Just see how foolish they are. So Prabhupada was so witty on one hand, but his examples were so convincing. I first got this book, Life Comes from Life. When I opened one of the pages, I found a beautiful flower. So Prabhupada was showing that to his disciples and said, just see this beautiful flower. Even if you take a color, watercolor, and throw it on a canvas, you can't draw a flower like this. Even on a canvas. What to speak of making a flower like this? And if a biologist would research on it, then he would see much, much more order and intricacy in that. So, Prabhupada's statements were very convincing when I read his books in the early days. And as I read further, I understood probably he's the first acharya I've seen in the different Indian gurus who have been preaching to so boldly confront the scientists of the West. As the science is declaring how man came from apes or everything came from a Big Bang. So Prabhupada smashes all these theories with very simple examples. And besides that, India is faced with two great stumbling blocks. One is from the modernization of the modernization and science and technology. Indians are becoming infatuated and attracted to them. So that's one stumbling block. The other one is the religion is, in the name of religion, so much of impersonalism is spreading all over the country. Prabhupada was invited to one such a religious meeting where he found there was no picture of Krishna. It was a Gita Samiti meeting. There was only a lamp kept. And Prabhupada challenged him. Even if you go for a political meeting, you find the picture of Gandhi, Nehru and such people. They keep some pictures of politicians. You are saying that you have a meeting on Bhagavad Gita, but where is Krishna and Arjuna? And Prabhupada challenged it. And they were saying, no, Swamiji, this is Nirankar. We have faith in Nirankar. And Prabhupada said, where is it said in Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna. So, Prabhupada was very bold in confronting even the so-called religionists who were misrepresenting religion. In Chaupati Beach, there was a program called the Sadhu Samaj, arranged for many, many sadhus from different organizations. And Prabhupada was also called for the same function. And he was sitting on the stage. Different Mayavadis came forward and they were speaking many, many hours of lectures. And the audience were dozing due to the long-winded lectures. And there was a kind of boredom that was pervading the audience. And Prabhupada's disciples were also very tired and dizzy. And towards the end, Prabhupada was given the opportunity to speak. Instead of beginning to speak, Prabhupada just turned towards his disciples and told them, chant Hare Krishna. And immediately taking the instruments, they started singing and chanting. And the small girl, Saraswati, she jumped in the front and started dancing. And when she started dancing, then all the devotees in the stage stood up and they started dancing. Seeing that all the audience, they stood up. They started clapping hands and started dancing. And in this way, the chanting and dancing became very, very roaring. The Indians were crying tears, seeing the Americans chanting and dancing on the stage. In fact, even the policemen and staff reporters, they started waving their hands and dancing themselves. In this way, everyone appreciated chanting and dancing. And it went on for about 10 minutes. It took another 10 minutes to settle everyone down. And then Prabhupada said, he just spoke for 5 minutes. So profound. He said, just before me, this Swamiji, some Nikhilatmananda, he said that we should bring about character in society, values in society. But what can bring about character? And he said, this chanting of Hare Krishna, you see, has transformed those who are eating cow flesh and indulging in all kinds of sinful habits to become so saintly. And you can see it practically happening. It works. And there is no need for me to speak anything further beyond this, he said. And all the audience applauded heartily. And in this way, the Indians were so moved that our ISKCON started spreading in India also, all over. So we can see, Srila Prabhupada presented such profound Sanskrit literature of the Vedas in such a simple language that a modern man can appreciate. And in such a simple language that any of us, coming from any background in life, we can easily appreciate them and apply them in our life. And I thank Srila Prabhupada also for leaving behind such wonderful jewel-like disciples who are now running the ISKCON Society and spreading the same message of Prabhupada in such a wonderful way. Prabhupada said in 1972-73 that now our movement is expanding everywhere in the world. It is high time that we should boil the milk. Otherwise, we will get scattered away. We will not get anything consolidated. And today we are saying that here at Chaupati, by the sincere efforts of his wonderful disciple and many other disciples, it is so touching to heart to see our movement getting consolidated. When I go to Mayapur, when I see thousands of disciples devotees worldwide coming together, I'm seeing this boiling the milk happening in our society. So I pray on this most auspicious day to Srila Prabhupada that may he give strength to every one of us here to become convinced of this Krishna conscious philosophy in our own lives, and also let he give us the strength to propagate this message of Krishna consciousness all over. And while doing so, let our preaching and propagating the philosophy not hurt the devotees, or not ignore the devotees and neglect them, but keep them bound in the association. At the same time, let us expand the society further and further while maintaining the purity. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you very much, Radhesham Prabhu. Prabhupada, the only Big Bang theory that the scientists have talked of that we is to love. I request Radha Krishna Prabhu to please make his offerings, and those coming up to speak, respect the 3 minutes for making your offerings. Thank you very much.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. For me to glorify you on this occasion means to make a report of the last year's activities. I am fully aware that all these activities are a part of your glory. It is actually you who are preaching to the whole world through the agency of your disciples, and we, your grand disciples, are only assisting them in helping you in your mission of carrying out the Sankirtan Yajna of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some of the projects in which I was insignificantly assisting His Holiness Radhanath Swami are as follows. Devotees from our temple were invited by the Times Group to impart value education to the students of regular schools in Mumbai. We started this program in 6 schools, and today our devotees are going and conducting regular Bhagavad Gita classes in the schools during school hours to more than 4,000 students, one lecture every week. Some of these devotees have now regularly visiting the temple, and they are also taking regular counseling from our devotees. The second project, Srila Prabhupada, is about distributing Krishna Prasad. Through the project of midday meal of the government of Maharashtra, we have taken up a pilot project of serving Krishna Prasad to 13,500 students every day. Besides this, there have been workshops on character and personality development, and also in excellence skills. By your mercy, all these programs are increasing day by day. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Radha Krishna Prabhu. I request Vishakha Priya Mataji to please come up and make her offerings. Vishakha Mataji here.
Recognized. All the activities that we perform in this world can be categorized into generally 4 types. Those which are done out of force, those which are done out of fear, those which are done out of duty, and those which are done out of love, of which the highest is those done out of love, because only love can bring about sacrifice. It is with these qualities of love and sacrifice that, Srila Prabhupada, you have laid the foundation of ISKCON. Prabhupada, you gave yourself completely and did anything for the devotees, and in turn, they did anything for you. A few months back, when Bhavanand Prabhu had visited our temple, he was narrating to us the incident when the Muslims had attacked Mayapur and how the devotees had to defend themselves, and later how the police had come to arrest Srila Prabhupada, and not finding him, they had arrested Bhavanand Prabhu instead and taken him to the Krishnanagar court with handcuffs and made him walk barefoot on the hot asphalt which was melting under the scorching sun. During all this, Bhavanand Prabhu was happy, thinking that it was he and not Srila Prabhupada who had to go through all this trouble. This love of his had brought tears to the devotees' eyes when they heard the narration from him. Also how Brahmanand Prabhu and Gargamuni Prabhu immediately left for Pakistan without even a second thought on the request of Srila Prabhupada. Only true love can lead to such surrender. And how Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Malati Mataji and the others, they had risked their lives completely to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire to plant Krishna consciousness in London. and of course our Radhanath Maharaj and others lived in the extreme austere conditions of New Vrindavan, rendering unimaginable types of services at unimaginable hours of the day and night. What else but Srila Prabhupada's own love and sacrifice for them could motivate such degrees of surrender in their hearts? The more he gave, the more they gave, and this sometimes went to the point of madness. As Tamal Krishna Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada, when days before his departure he wanted to go for Govardhan Parikrama, and the devotees knew that it would be too much for him if he undertook that Parikrama. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj told Srila Prabhupada, please don't go, it is driving us to the point of madness, Srila Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to do that. And he told his godbrothers, just see how much they love me. This momentum of the love and sacrifice between Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful disciples is still keeping the movement going and growing. And just as a tortoise overlooks the eggs that it has laid from a distance and nurtures it with its care, similarly Srila Prabhupada is lovingly overlooking us from the spiritual world. We pray that we can feel your all-pervasive love and mercy in our lives more and more, so that it can help us to become serious in our devotional service in order to dedicate ourselves to this mission which you have started. It is only after hearing about you and your disciples that I realize that although there are so many relationships in this world, the strongest bond that can ever exist is that between a guru and a disciple. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. I request His Grace Gaurang Prabhu to please make his offerings. While Gaurang Prabhu is making his offering, I request Kishori Mataji to please make her way towards the microphones.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, once there was a gentleman who was interested in silent meditation, and he was searching through a library for a book on silent meditation. He found a big book. He was reading this book, but he couldn't figure out what's being mentioned, so he just kept the book back in frustration in the bookshelf. And he pushed this book back into the bookshelf. Another small book fell out of the bookshelf and fell straight on his head. And then it opened in front of him. He opened a page and it was written in that page, silent meditation is bogus and not for this age. And what he had not understood for 4 hours reading the big book, he understood in one line. And he saw the cover, it was Perfection of Yoga by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So, another time there was a gentleman who came to meet Srila Prabhupada with his guru. And Prabhupada asked him, what is your philosophy? And the guru was silent. And this gentleman was like a life member. He said that our philosophy is that of silence. So, he is my guru and he believes in Mauna Vrat. So Prabhupada said, very good. He can remain silent. Now I will speak. Let him hear. And then Prabhupada started preaching. So Giriraj Maharaj was mentioning in one of his lectures that Srila Prabhupada has given us so many of his books, which is one of his greatest contribution, so that we can speak from these books, understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and present it to others in a way which has never been presented before in history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And he is explaining his own realization that when he was preaching in Chennai, in Madras at that time, in the early 70s, while he was preaching and defeating the Mayavadis and the demigod worshippers, many people were coming forward and giving their feedback to Giriraj Maharaj that your preaching is too heavy and you are criticizing others too much. Just see this similar matha like yours is also here. They have been around for so many years, but they are not criticizing. You also be good. Don't criticize. So he was confused and he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada that how should I preach? Because your books are very uncompromising and you are saying that you must speak the truth. In the meantime, before Prabhupada's reply came, he had to go and meet a very wealthy industrialist in Madras. And he entered into his office cabin. It was in his home only. A section of his home was an office. So he opened his suitcase and brought out all these books, and he was preaching to him from these books. And he was determined that day that he is only going to be positive. After he had made his presentation, the gentleman said, "There are so many things written in these books, but there is no mention of Shankaracharya. He is one of our greatest saints. He has contributed so much. Where is Shankara?" And then Giriraj Maharaj, as soon as he heard, immediately there was a signal within. But still he said, "Today I have to be positive." He said, "No, our philosophy is different. We are not Advaita. We are into Achinta Bheda Bheda." Started explaining. Again this man said, "No, but how can you deny Shankaracharya? His contribution you cannot forget." And then he started going great detail about Advaita philosophy. And then finally Giriraj Maharaj decided, whether he becomes life member or not, I don't care, but I have to show him. And then he opened teachings of Lord Chaitanya and started showing all those conversations of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Prakash Ananda Saraswati and all those. And then finally, he thought, anyway, I have spoken so much, this man will never become member. He just collected all the books, put it back in his suitcase and started walking out of the house. This man chased behind him and said, "Wait, wait, come with me." And called him back from the door, took him inside. And inside the room, in the living room, there was a curtain. And this gentleman opened the curtain and there were beautiful 3 feet high deities of Radha and Krishna. And Giriraj Maharaj was bewildered, because Madras, generally you do not find Radha Krishna deities in so many houses. And this man said, "I am a Krishna worshipper and I am totally against Advaitavad. I am a Vaishnava, but this place is so much filled with Shankara's philosophy, and I have heard about Srila Prabhupada, and I know that he is preaching all over the world. I just wanted to test whether his disciples compromise or not. And today I tested you and you have passed the test. I am very happy. I hereby become life member." And he wrote out a check. And he became a life member of ISKCON. And as soon as Giriraj Maharaj came back to his house at Royapeta at Madras, he found a letter. Srila Prabhupada had just sent a reply. And Prabhupada had written, "Factually speaking, in all of India, I am the only person who is speaking the truth boldly without compromise. And I expect that you should also do so. My Guru Maharaj never compromised. I never compromised. You also do not compromise. And Krishna will be pleased. And he will send people to our movement. Do not worry." Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you very much, Gaurang Prabhu. While Kishori Mataji makes her offering, I request Raghunath Prabhu to please make his way towards the microphones.
Srila Prabhupada, we are so grateful to you for teaching us everything by your personal example. I was reading 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada's preaching to Vasudeva. In one of the purports, there was a quote by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And it was that the only reason we have come to this material world is because we do not know how to worship our spiritual master. So we have to learn that is in this material world. Srila Prabhupada, you have come for the purification of this planet. You taught us by your personal example how to preach in this world. We should never miss a single chance to give Krishna to any living entity. If we simply become humble instruments in the hands of your servants and their servants, you will use us to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's desire. There are so many incidences where you tolerated innumerable inconveniences just to deliver a conditioned soul. I'd just like to mention two incidences. One was when one sannyasi left movement and he got married, he came back to Srila Prabhupada and he asked you that, "Lord Chaitanya left Shota Haridas, but will you accept me?" And you answered, "Lord Chaitanya is God, he can do anything, but I need you to spread this mission." I was reading Prabhupada's memories, one of the offerings by Madhudvisha Prabhu. He was explaining that it was in 1977, Prabhupada was very sick in Vrindavan. Devotees sent messages to Madhudvisha Prabhu that he was remembering him very much. He had left his sannyas and he had got married. His wife was pregnant and he was about to deliver a baby. So he could not go to meet Srila Prabhupada. He was waiting till she delivers. When she delivered a baby boy, after a few days, he flew to Delhi. When he got down at Delhi airport, he shaved up and kept a long shikha. He was very scared because this was the first time he was meeting Srila Prabhupada after his marriage. When he reached Vrindavan and he entered the room, the atmosphere was very grave. Devotees told Srila Prabhupada that Madhudvisha has come. Srila Prabhupada sat up and he was so happy and he said, See, Madhudvisha still has a long shikha. And where is your wife? He told that Prabhupada, she has just delivered a baby, so she does not want to travel. And you told us, yes, a woman should not travel for 40 days. Prabhupada asked, what did she get? Madhudvisha Prabhu told that a baby boy. And Srila Prabhupada, they have named him Abhay Charan. Then Srila Prabhupada started explaining that in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of a crocodile and an elephant. Crocodile could fight for many years very strongly because he was the animal of water. So if you are strong in Krishna consciousness in Grihastha ashram, you should serve in that ashram. But if you are strong in Brahmachari ashram, then you serve in that ashram. And Madhudvisha Prabhu felt very relieved. And Srila Prabhupada, you have taught all of us how to be Krishna conscious and learn how you can utilize everyone in the service of Lord Krishna. Today I pray at your lotus feet that please always give me strong Krishna conscious intelligence and determination that I never offend Vaishnavas and do any sacrifice required to cooperate with devotees. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kishori Mataji. While Raghunath Prabhu makes his offering, I request Dwarkadhish Prabhu to please make his way towards the microphones.
Prabhupada reached the United States at a very momentous time of world history, something that perhaps happened only a couple of times in the last 2-3 millenniums. It was the age of consumerism. For avid observers of world history, they will tell you how after the First World War and the Great Depression of the 1930s, and then, of course, in a little over a decade, the Second World War, it left the world devastated. But America emerged out unscathed. In that sense, it became one of the superpowers, and the effects of Kali Yuga are always there. Any such devastation, they say, kick-starts the economy. Unprecedented wealth is created, and in less than a decade after the World War, nearly 5,000 Americans were moving into new houses, and with the new houses, 3 televisions, 2 cars, couple of refrigerators, and what have you. It was the age of consumerism. Unprecedented, fabulous creation of wealth. And just another 10-15 years later, the same wealth which they created was actually, you know, in one sense, it was thwarted or ignored by the next generation, who actually had seen so much fabulous wealth, they became hippies, basically. And anyone who is following world events will say it was a time when preaching was very, very difficult because of Vietnam War and the drugs and stay high forever. I mean, LSD consumption and all was at its zenith. And any historian or any person who, from the mundane sense, would not dare to travel to America to take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words there, because people were so engrossed in their own thing, each one doing his own thing. But just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had many, many years ago instructed Srila Prabhupada, he said that this message of Krishna is so urgent, it's an emergency. It cannot even wait for the Britishers to be driven out of India. It is so important. And in the same way, Srila Prabhupada, disregarding all that was happening, the world events that were happening at that time, at great personal cost, he went there. He was also wondering how he is going to give the message across to the people of America. But he had such intense faith in the words of Guru and Krishna that we all know the rest is all history. And as they say, a guru is always ahead of his times. Srila Prabhupada was at least 100 years ahead of most other people. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was one of the first sannyasis to sit in the car. He was stoned. He was actually stoned for sitting in the car. Prabhupada also made some breakthrough, revolutionary things
just to spread the movement. He even said at one point of time that my godbrothers may criticize me for being a sannyasi and marry these young boys and girls. But I have to do that because I have to push the movement. I cannot allow them to have sinful lives and live together without marriage. So Prabhupada did many things which he never wanted to do, but he knew that the Krishna consciousness movement is so important, so urgent that it cannot wait for civil behavior or so to say nice etiquette in the Vaishnav parlance. So Prabhupada was really a revolutionary acharya, much, much ahead of times. And what he has done will only be revealed as the days go by. They say that fundamental changes, they take place at the peripheries, not at the center. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a channa avatar, hidden avatar, only some indirect references in scriptures. So also Srila Prabhupada started in a very humble way, in the Bowery, an area where nobody will be envious of Srila Prabhupada for being in that place at that particular point of time in history. So he went in such a place and in such circumstances against all odds, where even age was against him. He had already suffered massive reversals in his own personal health due to traveling the Atlantic, crossing the Atlantic Ocean and other things. Prabhupada just disregarded everything that was there and pushed the movement further. And we are all assembled here today because of his sacrifice. Had Prabhupada not taken those perils or those difficulties on himself, I doubt any of us would be here in this room today to, and the amount of books that he printed, we know how people would have to travel hundreds of thousands of miles just to get a copy of the book from West Bengal. And Prabhupada made it so simple, brought it into our drawing rooms and our bedrooms. Such beautiful illustrations and such literature. One other thing that comes to my mind is about Prabhupada's relentless letter writing. At all times, in all places, in all circumstances, he never failed to write letters to his disciples. And these letters are a veritable source of inspiration to the Hare Krishna movement. And they are actually scriptures. And through those letters, Prabhupada cajoled, he cautioned, he begged, he appreciated. He did everything to make his disciples understand. And we would think that if Prabhupada was there today, email would have made his things so much simpler. But Prabhupada said technology does not enhance religion. It's the other way around. And religion does not get limited because of technology. Just because technology is there, we will use it. But if it is not there, Krishna consciousness movement will be pushed forward regardless. So there is no problem. And as what we call today a snail mail, Prabhupada would send out hundreds of those snail mails every single day, and he would manage the whole world remotely from one center. So if we really meditate on these things and we realize what stupendous sacrifices Srila Prabhupada has made so that we can sit here and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you, Raghunath Prabhu, for your voicemail to us. Dwarkadish Prabhu, if you could please take the mics. I request Sanat Kumar Prabhu to please make his way towards the microphones.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It's always very difficult to figure out what exactly to speak on this occasion which will please Prabhupada most and the devotees. So, in the midst of all this tangle of various thoughts, I was thinking about my old days in Krishna consciousness when I first, in the 1982-83, my father, according to him, rather unfortunately became a member of the Hare Krishna movement, a life member. And on that day he lost his son. Because I was remembering how, as a young boy, I was looking for philosophical truths of life in various philosophers of modern India, some Mayavadis and various categories of philosophers. But the whole set of books which we got from Radharas Bihari Temple paved the way for clear thinking and determined understanding of what the goal of life was. And I remember how immediately the Prabhupada's books caught up into my life, and I was so intoxicated by those books my father and mother were not very favorable initially. Even now they have little unpleasant memories about my old days. But I remember in the night, getting up in the night when everyone was sleeping and chanting Hare Krishna in front of a picture of Krishna in the living room, and dancing in the middle of the night all alone. Dancing, putting a thin tape of Prabhupada's kirtan and just dancing to myself for a photograph of Krishna standing in front of me. So one day I was traveling from, I was a student of medical college, walking down from Parla station to Ras Bihari temple. And the initial days are always so beautiful, so wonderful. I remember actually practically dancing on the road all alone, going to Radha's Bihari temple. It was so fascinating. This is the power of Prabhupada's glory, that his movement is so sweet, and he gives such a beautiful taste. And I can very well say that whatever sweetness I relished in the beginning days of my Krishna conscious life, they are only becoming more and more enhanced. What was earlier just maybe a matter of new experience as a budding youth has now become more consolidated in my heart as a practical reality of life and a very tangible path which I want to pursue, not just for this life but for hopefully for many, many lifetimes now. So all this beautiful glory goes exclusively to Srila Prabhupada and the movement he has created. And like sometimes Radhana Swami Maharaj asks devotees, how are you? And many of us may have our problems to narrate. So then we say, Maharaj this and Maharaj that, like that, I have this and that. And some devotee may tell him that, Maharaj, I am very happy in Krishna consciousness. And when the devotees speak that, that is the greatest joy to the heart of the spiritual master. Because the spiritual master is most pleased to see his disciples happily executing a life of Krishna consciousness. So, on this day, in front of my Gurudev and Prabhupada, I can say that, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, I am a happy Krishna conscious devotee.
Sanat Kumar Prabhu. While Sanat Kumar Prabhu is making his offerings, I request Radha Giridhari Prabhu to please make his way towards the microphones.
Today, on the occasion of Srila Prabhupada's reference day, amongst the so many treasures that he has left for us, I'd like to touch a few of them. Like one of the things is, like he has given us a faith based on scriptures, as Krishna conscious movement is not blind following. Whatever is there is based on the understanding of the scriptures. And then he explained those scriptures to all of us in such a simple manner that anyone could understand. Even so many big scientists, they come up with so many theories. But anyone, or even a small child in Krishna consciousness, can see the difference. Even the whole world that time was witnessing about the pictures of moon landing, but Srila Prabhupada firmly remained fixed on the words of his scriptures, and all his true followers could understand in its true perspectives. Like a simple example, he would say that the child is a part and parcel of a mother. And when child sits on the lap of his mother, only that time child can be happy. Any other time, child will be miserable. So simply, since we are part and parcel of Lord Krishna, we have to reconnect ourselves to Lord Krishna. And that's the only way we can achieve happiness in this society. Today's this modern society is trying to give you so many allurements of happiness, but will never give happiness because they miss this point that Krishna is the center of all activities. And then if you miss this point, unless a part gets connected with the whole, there can be no question of happiness. So all these profound things explained, it is such a simple way for common people like us so that we can understand the purport of all the scriptures. And all these things he has done for our own benefits. That once Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples, that time Srila Prabhupada was sick, so he asked him, why a pure devotee has to suffer like this in this material world? So Srila Prabhupada heard that question and immediately he became grave And he said that it's not suffering. He said, it just a love bites. That sometimes the true lovers will also have a fight between them. But they truly love each other. So similarly, when pure devotee suffers, sometimes Krishna puts him in that understanding. But actually, pure devotee enjoys that. He treats that suffering as a love bites of Krishna. So this is how he has done such a great sacrifice for all of us, benefit. And here in Lilamrut, so many inconveniences he had to go, but he took all this suffering as a love bites of Krishna for our benefits. So on this occasion, I pray to his lotus feet that let me be remain as your eternal servant. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Sanat Kumar Prabhu. I request Radha Giridhari Prabhu to please make his offering. While he's making his offering, Vishnu Priya Mataji, if you could please make it after this.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. I'm fortunate that the very first book that I came across was the small book On the Way to Krishna. It was a very simple book, but that is where Srila Prabhupada, by your mercy, you know, I could get connected to this glorious mission. I also remember in the many years that I was not in this country and living outside, you know, during all the difficulties, you know, your Leelamrit that, you know, that I was fortunate to be able to read, you know, gave the inspiration and it was very kind that I could, you know, see through all the difficulties that you had gone through, that your disciples had to go through. I could, you know, I could see the glories of all your disciples. I was very fortunate that while I had heard about so many sannyasis and so many great disciples of yours in the Leelamrit, but I came across a very externally very simple devotee in, you know, suddenly traveling in a bus in Singapore. I was fortunate to meet him. And by getting his association, I then realized, Srila Prabhupada, that each and every disciple of yours, many of whom, you know, many of us have not had the fortune of directly meeting, but each and every disciple of yours is the most unique, wonderful and worshipable gem. And, you know, I was fortunate to meet a few of them. I just hope, Srila Prabhupada, on this day that, you know, that the love that all your disciples have for you, which is the most, whenever they speak of you, whenever they speak anything about, you know, any of their association of that they've had with you, it is so sweet, it is so genuine, it is so uniquely wonderful. And I hope and pray that I am able to serve your grand disciples, your disciples, and someday I can also develop some taste for the holy name and to serve your mission in a genuine way. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Radha Giridhari Prabhu. While Vishnupriya Mataji makes her offering, after this I request Govind Prabhu to please make his offerings, and the gems that Radha Giridhari Prabhu was just mentioning in his offering, we will be having the great fortune of hearing from some of them.
Jyotsna Prabhupada, we would like to read you an offering written by one of our students, Mayapur Chandrika, age 14, schooling at Sri Anasuya Vidyamandala, a girls' school in Mayapur. There are so many mistakes, but Srila Prabhupada, please still accept it.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, on this auspicious day of your Vyas Puja celebration, I would like to thank you for your mercy upon us fallen souls. We have been here for millions of lifetimes through the process of recreation, searching for material enjoyment and control, just like blind moles. Running here and there, completely lost in Maya's illusion, we still haven't found Sri Krishna's lotus feet due to our sinful acts. Your rich books are picking us up from an ocean of confusion. Because you present everything strongly and with logical facts, with faith in your guru's words, with a trunk of books and 40 rupees, you cross the seven seas at the elderly age of 69. going through hardships, two heart attacks, your fortitude did not cease, just praying to Damodar and receiving his mercy divine, saving hundreds of crying souls with Gopinath's soothing name without making any discrimination of who was fit or not. So many people you taught that the service to Shyam should be one's only aim, and if one achieves it, one will not come back here again to rot.
A real teacher is one who can present the highest truth in simple words. In this way, you teach us fools, showing us the way to serve the Lord, whom great yogis have not realized through millions of years, even births. Just chant Govinda. Everywhere his glorious names should be roared. Now there are mandirs all over the world run by your devotees, increasing vastly through the years. This movement will never perish. It will continue to give life to those who search like honeybees and lift them up to the state of prema, which they may always cherish. So thank you once again for everything that you have taught us. We hope that we will be able to serve you by serving your mission. Please give us your mercy so that one day we will reach your foot dust. Upon this aspiring Mayapur Chandrika Dasi, please show your compassion. Thank you, Shri Prabhupada.
Thank you, Matajis, for making such a glorious presentation about Srila Prabhupada's movement. I request Govind Prabhu to please make his offering.
Srila Prabhupada, I was reading one statement which mentions that about the devotees. Devotees, they love to preach. There is something higher. That is one thing to love to preach, but it is much higher than this to love those whom we preach. And Srila Prabhupada, you exhibited this quality tremendously. It was your transcendental kshatriya quality to preach. But at the same time, along with preaching, you also loved those whom you preached. And it is also mentioned that to love someone, it is natural for a great soul to love all the conditioned souls. That is their compassionate nature. But to expand the mission, it is said that greater compliment than love is to trust. One time, when some of your disciples, they started preaching that you are God, they lost your trust. And even though they were quite powerful materially and also preaching Krishna consciousness, you didn't hesitate them to ban from your society because they lost your trust. But on the other hand, even though seemingly a fallen devotee, when he approached you, as somebody mentioned this story in Japan, he had fallen from his sannyas vows and he asked you, Prabhupada, will you reject me just like Lord Chaitanya rejected Chota Haridas? There were tears in your eyes. And you said, Lord Chaitanya is independent. I am not. I need assistant of my devotees. Similarly, when you are writing your trust deed, somebody was suggesting a name of a very highly qualified aristocratic Indian having all kind of good qualities to be trustee of your society. Even though you loved him, he was your good friend, but you still trusted your Western disciples because you had exhibited your love to them and they didn't just reciprocate simply by loving you, but more than that, they became loyal to you. Loyal doesn't mean that becoming fanatics. Their loyalty was based upon philosophy and proper understanding of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And even though there were so-called righteous Indians, but you trusted because they were loyal to take your mission and spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, on this most auspicious occasion of your appearance day, I pray to you that I may not simply love you, that may be like a Maya or philosophy, as you yourself mentioned, anyone who directly approaches Krishna is not part of Gaudiya philosophy. We always grow through Krishna's devotee. We don't see Krishna alone. We always go through the energy of Krishna. As Radheshyam Prabhu was mentioning the story in Gita Sammelan. They said we are only interested in the teachings of Krishna but not Krishna. Prabhupada said this is demonic. You want energy but not energetic. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, those who dedicated their lives to you, they may had some problems, but still they were loyal. And to love them and to appreciate them of their services to your lotus feet and going through them to you will be most pleasing to you. That is my insignificant understanding. And I want to always follow these footsteps rather than directly coming to you. Let me always aspire to come through your wonderful devotees. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Govind Prabhu. While we would love to continue and hear from more of our God brothers, the list is very long. Sridharma Prabhu, Vishvanu Prabhu, Adikesha Prabhu, Madhavanand Prabhu, Vishwarup Prabhu, many Matajis. But at this point, we would like to present in our series of gems for this evening, I request His Grace Bhima Prabhu to please direct and address us and enlighten us.
Hare Krishna. So I really just came to hear here tonight, didn't really think that I was going to say anything. But today I spent some time reading Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja book, and there's a couple of themes that reoccur in the different offerings that devotees have made to Srila Prabhupada. And one of them that's mentioned in a number of offerings is the installation of the Panchatattva and how that has inspired many devotees to work towards fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's instructions to build the wonderful temple glorifying Lord Chaitanya, a temple from which, you know, the Sankirtan movement will spread and illuminate this world of darkness. It was the vision of the previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada's instructions to us. So that's one theme that was there. Another theme that was mentioned, recently we have lost the association of our beloved godbrother, Sridhar Swami. And so that made many devotees think about how short this life really is. How much time left do we have to serve Srila Prabhupada and to fulfill his instructions? So we can think about that whatever time we do have left, we should fill it up with service to Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his desire to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Bhima Prabhu. I request Bhima Prabhu's better half, Jaltal Mataji, to please. She is not around? Okay. While Mataji is not around, I would request if Haridas Prabhu could please address us. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Today I'm not going to entertain you. There's no enterprising business here today. So, don't enjoy. I'm here for a very serious mission today. Once if you all take me for seriously, then I can offer this, my heart to you all. Is it ready? Alright. So, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, conceived and predicted this Jhu Hare Krishna land before he gone to the west to start the ISKCON. He conceived and he planned in that particular land and that kind of temples. And while he was making Hare Krishna land, he was staying around here in Nepenthe, Akash Ganga, Somaya's place, and K.K. Mahadeva's place. So because he was staying around here, the aura of his spiritual effect is this. This Radha Gopinath temple and all of you. Okay, reason I'm here is that those days in Juhu, I always not request, kind of I used to ask Prabhupada, can I go to some other place? But in one word, Prabhupada used to say no. Again, no. Again, no. So one day he asked me, why you want to leave this place? I said, this place become too opulent. We were austere. So I was happy there. It become too opulent. Actually, in my heart, I was trying to trick Prabhupada, because by then I learned so many word juggler from my seniors, you know. So I tried to trick Prabhupada. I said, this place become too opulent. I want to go to a place where, again, I can perform my austerity. So Prabhupada said, yes, you can perform all the austerity right in Bombay with all the opulence, with all the fame, all the wealth, by not using anything for you. Okay, I didn't take it seriously. As soon as I got, after Prabhupada's departure, I got the wealth and fame, I used them all for me. So result was my 12 years of a deficiency of spiritual life. Okay, reason I'm here today, mainly to request Radhanath Swami. Again, this wealth and fame is attacking me. So I want you all to rescue me, mainly begging a one drop of quality of Radhanath Swami to be austere. Is agreed by everybody? Is granted? No? Yes? What? Yes. So, please rescue me. Again, the wealth and fame is really attacking me, and I cannot afford, because by knowing Sridhar Swami's life very short, I cannot afford any more a one day waste of my time. So therefore, I repeat Radhanath Swami to borrow me a one drop of his quality so I can continue with the austere life to the service of Prabhupada, which Prabhupada has asked me. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Haridas Prabhu. On behalf of everyone, I bow my head to you for your humbleness, the way you've taught us to be humble. I request Jaltal Mataji, if she could please enlighten us.
Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Paschatvesha Tarine. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisance on this most auspicious day. Though I am an insignificant devotee, please let me speak something on your 108th anniversary of your appearance. Srila Prabhupada, your mercy is there for everyone. Without your mercy, no one would know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Western countries or other parts of the world. You fulfilled your Guru Maharaj's order. That is why today you are glorified. If followers take the order of Guru, then Krishna becomes satisfied. You are the bona fide Guru and you taught us each and everything. Without your guidance, we would still be in darkness of ignorance. You open the eyes of everyone who read your books. Today, thousands of people come to see you, as well as Srishti Radharas Vihari. Your books are going to every corner, from little village to big cities. Thus, you fulfill the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Pithivite ache jato navaradi gram sarvatra prachar haibe mor naam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desires the holy name to spread from nook and corner of the world. Because you are empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you could spread the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra all over the world. On this most auspicious day, please bless us that we may continue to distribute your books, which are guiding light for all humanity. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Matajis and Prabhus. You've just heard from Jalatal Mataji. She is niece of Srila Prabhupada. I request His Grace Prabhu Ghosh Prabhu to please enlighten and address us.
Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Nomini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarani. Srila Prabhupada has written in the Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, that anyone who proposes to become Krishna conscious outside of the association of the devotees of this Krishna consciousness movement is living in a hallucination. We gather together each year on this very special day. We recount so many wonderful pastimes of His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada resembles Krishna in this moment. He always resembles Krishna entering the arena, the wrestling arena in Mathura. And everyone sees him a little differently. Everyone is able to capture some aspect of Srila Prabhupada's greatness. Everyone recounts how Srila Prabhupada directly affected them or affects them. Srila Prabhupada said, minimum words, maximum solution is true eloquence. He has given the most profound access to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our attempts to highlight His very personal dealings with us, it is also important for us to remember the truly monumental and majestic nature of Sri Vyas Puja, that Srila Prabhupada is actually coming in a line of this cyclic succession from Lord Brahma himself, who was powerless to effect a change in this material energy until he had heard the vibration of tapa from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this vibration entered his heart and then manifested later in his capacity to create, to generate all types of living beings and this entire material energy, this entire material world. And Lord Krishna then later spoke in Srimad Bhagavatam and said, the potential power to create anything in this world is this tapasya, tapa. Vasudeva, para, tapa. Krishna is the essence of tapasya. And Srila Prabhupada's chanting of the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, was and is absolutely non-different than Krishna himself. So when we go on the street and we chant, when we distribute his books, when we chant in any way, shape, or form, actually, that is merely an extension of Srila Prabhupada individually chanting the holy names of the Lord, vibrating this sound vibration, and through that, creating Krishna consciousness everywhere. So the performance of kirtan and the acceptance of kirtan are only possible in the association of the devotees of the Lord. And this association has been created by His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And for that reason, there is no limit to the extent to which we can make some attempt to glorify Him. In the Beyond Birth and Death, a very small, simple, 56-page book distributed all over the world in every language practically. On page 55, Srila Prabhupada says in one sentence, merely by chanting the holy names of the Lord, one can enjoy all the advantages of the personal association of Lord Krishna. Arjuna rejected all but Krishna's personal association, and he was victorious in the battle of Kurukshetra. So much was there, but he declined and said, just give me Krishna. Just Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he had that absolute connection with Krishna. And on the strength of that absolute connection with Krishna and that absolute faith in his spiritual master, now, all over the world, Sri Krishna Janmashtami is celebrated, and the very next day, his appearance is also celebrated. Eternally connected for the balance of Kali Yuga. You cannot celebrate. 30 years ago, they celebrated Janmashtami all over India. But Sri Vyas Puja was not celebrated the next day. Because no one knew that Krishna's most intimate servant was to make his appearance. So Srila Prabhupada, he appears each Vyas Puja, he appears each Janmashtami the next day in the hearts of all the devotees. And we assemble together and we meditate. And every year it gets thicker and thicker and thicker. And the realizations become deeper and deeper and deeper. And hopefully our commitment to becoming humble servants, empowered by this tapa, this spiritual sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, becomes more established within our heart. So I want to thank all of the devotees here in Chaupati for being such shining examples, such stellar examples of that faith in this chanting and His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhush Prabhu. We are very grateful for your association that you have given to us over the past few months. I request His Grace Kaustubh Prabhu, who is a gem carved out of another gem. He is disciple of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Kaustubh Prabhu has been very instrumental in reviving book distribution all over America, following in the footsteps of His Guru Maharaj, and now lives in New York and has been giving us his association over the last few days and weeks. Kaustubh Prabhu, please.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tamne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashta Deshitane. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke with
Srila Ramananda Roy, there are many questions and answers going back and forth. And among them, Sri Chaitanya was asking questions like, what is the greatest this, what is the greatest that? And Ramananda Roy would answer with stating that the greatest was always that that was related to Krishna in one way or another. What is the greatest misery? His answer was, separation from the Vaishnavas is the greatest misery. And like this, there are many questions. And recently in the United States, one of the ex-presidents of the United States passed away. His name was Ronald Reagan. And he was given a title. They call him the Great Communicator. I don't know how he got that title. I can ponder it, and I have yet to come to any conclusion. But I think that that title belongs solely to Srila Prabhupada. He's the Great Communicator. He came to the United States with a message, the message of the Bhagavatam. And to the people of the United States, the very name Krishna was practically completely unknown. If someone had heard of Krishna, most likely it was in some class on religion in university, and it was mentioned that there is a mythological figure in India that people worship called Krishna. No understanding of Krishna's position. And the young people at that time had been trained to reject all authority. This is what all the heroes were telling them to do and what all the people that they admired were telling them to do. And Srila Prabhupada came into that situation with such a foreign message to them, but with the faith that actually it's not foreign at all to them. It's what's most near and dear to them. And he communicated that message in such a way that they could understand it. As many people have mentioned tonight, to take something very lofty and express it in a very simple and clear way means that one's realization on that subject is very deep. So Srila Prabhupada was able to do that so effectively that not only did they understand it theoretically, but they accepted it very deep within their hearts with such conviction that they could turn their back entirely on the world that they knew. And they could leave behind all that was near and dear to them in the past, whether it be their family, different loved ones, and all their aspirations for material enjoyment, which was seen as the goal of life, and for anything else that they had previously saw as important. And they gave it up not with bitterness or regret, but that conviction made it dynamic and wonderful and exciting and enjoyable and relishable for them. So we all owe such a great debt to Srila Prabhupada. I'll be brief so that we can hear Maharaj speak. But if I had the authority to do so, then on this day, I would happily grant Srila Prabhupada the title, the Great Communicator. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kastu Prabhu. I request His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to please address us.